You're listening to the Racing TV podcast on the wire.
And you are welcome along to the second half of the Dublin Racing Festival special on the wire with Johnny Ward, Brendan Duke and Gavin Lynch. Good morning to you two fine fellows.
How are you, Johnny? How are you, Dukey?
Good form, Gavin.
Yeah, good.
Want to get straight into the action here. No messing around. Day two is pretty spectacular, you'd have to say. Obviously, over the course of the weekend, Gavin, a couple of horses here or there are missing. But when you have grade ones of the caliber of the novice hurdle, and I actually thought I thought I was seeing things when I saw the number of runners right down from appreciated to hook up 16 runners in a grade one in February in Leopardstown is really fantastic stuff.
Yeah, same thing crossed my mind. I can't remember the last time I seen 16 runners in a grade one. I think for the 2 days, we've got four grade ones each day, top class handicaps, grade two bumpers. Sure, you couldn't ask for better, really.
Dukey, what do you make of it as an overview?
Yeah, it's a proper festival. I just wonder with the field sizes, have the trainers got something just nagging away in the back of their mind that they might have trouble getting to Cheltenham? Now, that threat does seem to have receded somewhat, but just would have been such a fluid situation. This is big prize money, prestigious races. Let's you know, the clue is in the title, racehorses. It's great to see.
Actually, on that, Dukey, how much, if James Connolly said Ireland without the Irish means nothing to me, what does Cheltenham mean to you if you were to have a winner over there if there were nobody there?
I'd say it'd still be fine for the connections. I suppose if the owners can't go, it might knock the luster off it somewhat, all right. But yeah, I mean, it's still something that they've been planning when they bought the horse as a store, or whenever they bought the horse, they're thinking, oh God, this could be a Cheltenham horse. And then they're building up through the seasons, and particularly with it being a focal point of this season, trying to keep the horse sound and hope that he arrives in form. It would still be a great triumph, I think.
Yeah, Dukey, invoking luster there. We spoke of lust yesterday. We spoke of Gavin having a mare, and it's straight into the mare's handicap hurdle, the 110 first race of the festival. Bear in mind, we'll have naps from four of the top personalities from Racing TV coming up, as well as three that you're listening to here later on in the show. We're going to go straight into this, starting with you here, Dukey. Very, very tough races. I got to say, one I am interested in is the getaway star. Declan Queeley's had a very, very good start to his fairly ephemeral training career. And this horse's form obviously ties in with Royal Cahala, who I think has a great chance in the Mare's Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham. And prior to that as well, she ran very well in that dramatic race behind Sky Ace and Queensbrook at Down Royal. This is very, very competitive. Are you a better or are you going to sit in the sidelines?
I'll probably sit on the sidelines. I can give you a nominal selection if you want it.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Well, this tell me something, girls, going the right way. Last seen giving weight and a beating to the progressive Darren's Hope. Wouldn't look overburdened off a mark of 128. She'd be my token selection.
I was watching the movie from which that particular mare was named, actually, over the Christmas, Gavin. I watched it on Christmas Eve and almost shed a tear. I think it had a few beers at that stage, though.
Almost.
What do you like?
This race has been going under this title of the Paddy Mullins Handicap Hurdle for the last 3 years, and Willie hasn't won it yet. So, or Tony, or Tom. I'm sure they'd like to win the race named after their dad. So, Willie has six in it, which is interesting. I think Sunday's very difficult for punting. I can't see myself having many bets. Can't see myself having a bet in this one. Second reserve, Blanket on the Ground would have a chance. Razzle Dazzle Love, who ran behind Royal Cahala the last day in a decent race, would have a chance. So the one Dukey mentioned, Dysart Diamond, is up £11. 20 mares. Oh, too hard, Johnny, too hard.
Yeah, you're really building up the show, Gavin. I think you probably learned a few things in terms of your media career this week. But one of them, I would say, is just hype it, even if it's crap. Just say that it's great, because we obviously have to flog it. Anyway, dear listener, it's a lot better than Gavin is implying at the moment. And that will become apparent as the show goes on. But let's hear from the winner of the Juvenile Hurdle last year. And here's a little clue as well. This horse just might be referenced later on in the show.
Aspire Tower has a battle on, coming to the final flight. Cerberus away from the sea, and a follow is Aspire Tower. Cerberus has been left with the lead from a wave of the sea, and Wolf Prince racing up towards the finish. An amazing turn of events. Cerberus away from the sea is coming and is getting up. A wave of the sea beat Wolf Prince, and Cerberus well clear from Clemencia Oak Park, and then Never Do Nothing, and both up, which is good news. Rachel Blackmore and Aspire Tower.
What do you make of the 2021 renewal of the juvenile hurdle, Gavin? I backed Kolixios each way a few weeks ago, so I'm delighted at the moment. What can possibly go wrong?
Yeah, good on you. What price do you get? 4-1?
4s.
Good man. I see there's one firm betting on at the moment, and they're 8-11, Kolixios. That seems a little short. I'd imagine you go off even money.
Yeah.
I tell you what's very interesting about this horse is that it actually won its first hurdle last March in France, but it is still qualified for the Triumph Hurdle because the Triumph Hurdle is not a novice race. It's just a hurdle race for four-year-olds. Did you know that?
Yeah. I'm not sure that's come up before, but I would have just thought of it as a four-year-old hurdle. Yeah. But I guess the French situation, when you're hurdling as early as March as a three-year-old. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, it's won 3 times. Loved the soft ground. It jumps fantastic. You couldn't maybe say the same with Humedor. His jumping is okay. Obviously fell then the last day at Fairy House when it was looming up beside the Elliott horse. Tricky race. I don't think St. Sam, as everybody knows, got a poor ride at Christmas. Went up the inside, had to switch around and stayed on very, very well. Hador could improve tons because that was his first run for Willie. Busselton could improve. I think Quilixios looks the winner, but I'd imagine it'll end up maybe a 5-4 shot. It can't be odds on. It can't.
The Mullins runners are kind of interesting here, Duke, because I'm not actually convinced Humedor would have won at Fairy House, given how keen he was, and the fact that he hadn't put the race to bed. He was a horse with mile 2 form on the flat by Hume's Inn, a horse that I saw run a couple of times in Paris back in the day. But he is quite free-going. St. Sam, on the other hand, would be a horse that maybe lacks a turn of foot, as has been evinced in his 2 runs behind Zana here. But a mutual friend of ours did relay during the week that Willie still thinks an awful lot of this horse. It's going to be a big enough prize.
Yeah, that's true. And Hador was a bit keen and probably disadvantaged by track position and can jump better. But I'm really struggling to get away from Quilixios. He's probably the best jumper in the race. He probably brings the best form to the table and he probably wins. Bon chance with your ticket, sir. It's a very nice one to hold.
Yeah, I'll obviously be hoping that Kolixios basically goes out in front, jumps, will relish the ground. I think he'll be very, very hard to beat here. Interesting that I think Jack Kennedy isn't entirely convinced, or maybe Stevie Russell, that he's definitely better than, or definitely inferior to Zana here. But time will reveal all. Let's get on to the Chanel Pharma Novice Hurdle. As we mentioned earlier on in the show, this is a huge field of 16 runners. When they went to post last year, it produced something of a star who does reappear later on today's card.
Asterion for lunch goes for his race under Danny Mullen, stretches away from Easy Work and Mount Leinster as they race down towards the final flight. It's Asterion for lunch in front from Easy Work, trying hard, then Mount Leinster at the final flight. Asterion for lunch over from Easy Work, who landed on all fours, and then Mount Leinster inside the final 150 yards, and it's Asterion for lunch who's sweeping the board in his races, will remain unbeaten in the Chanel Farm Novice Hurdle. Asterion for Orange, 8-10 lengths clear from Easy Work, Mount Leinster and Confladen.
Yeah, Asterion for Orange obviously en route to doing what he did at Cheltenham last year and becoming a bit of an enigma this year. Gavin, Willie has a hot favourite in the race and appreciated. I like this horse a lot, but I just wouldn't be mad at him at the price. I think there are a few that could run very well here.
Yeah, like I was mad about him last year for the bumper in Cheltenham, and he turned in, looked a winner, and then obviously he got outstayed or out Fernie Hollow, too much speed for him. So everybody thought this year he was going to be the Ballymore horse, and then he wins well in Cork from Master McShee, who he opposes. Wins very, very well at Christmas. You just wonder, did it beat a lot at Christmas? Because Bally Adam, you'd imagine, was a sick horse. A few of Gordon's didn't run so well. Irascible was second. I'd say he looks the most likely winner. We'll have it back him with odds on. I won't. Blue Lord, stepping back down to 2 miles. He was just incredibly keen for so long and ace that I don't know how he finished second. Mr. Coldstone, the one in Tremor on New Year's Day, drifted from, I think, 2-1 to 8-1 that day. But he did travel very well and jump very well. He's probably not up to this grade. I'd imagine Bally Adam, Master McShee, will be his biggest problems, but hard to see past appreciated. But would you back him, Johnny Day, to 11, would you?
No, I wouldn't. I think the Ballyadam point is fair there, because, you know, when they clashed, obviously, at Christmas, Ballyadam was sent off 9-4 that day. Appreciated was sent off 7-4, and Ballyadam probably didn't run his race. And he had a very progressive profile going into the race. Jumps great. Another horse, Carson Risk, who was third that day, stayed on very strongly. That was like his first run out of a maiden. So he should improve. And I think the deeper ground will bring him into it as well. I actually think he'll definitely narrow. I think he's a great chance of narrowing the gap for all that he's 12 and a half lengths to find. And as you mentioned there, there are some other interesting runners in the race. Juki, would you be getting involved at 8 to 11? This is a horse, I think, with the likes of Blue Lord in the race, well, I think Appreciated will drift here. I think he might get even money.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I can see why people would be tempted by that. He's a lovely horse. He jumps well. He stays well. He's got to take all the beat. And I saw 25-1 around about Mr. Coldstone. I mean, I'm not surprised. He should be a massive price. But I do think he beat a nice horse in Tremor. And as Gavin mentioned, he jumped brilliant and he tanked through that race. This is obviously a massive step up and he might be exposed. But a 25-1, not going to do much damage. So I'll have a small bet on him.
We're going to Handicap Hurdles now, back to Handicap Hurdles, William Fry Handicap Hurdle over 3 miles. I suppose not surprisingly here, Juki, JP McManus is strongly represented. Pure Genius is an interesting horse. When Authorized gets these staying hurdlers, they can be very good. And he was intriguing because he'd been pretty well backed in all his maiden hurdles over around about 2 miles. And it was hard to say he looked like he wanted to step up and trip, but he had been a small bit frustrating. In any event, they stepped up to 3 miles the last day. He was running against Fantasio Delaine, who was sent off 3-10 favourite. And Pure Genius was sent off and very easy to back 4-1 shot and absolutely bolted up from the front. I think he could well be better than a mark of 127 over this trip. But JB McManus has plenty of horses in this. And I honestly don't know what to expect in the race. What do you think?
Yeah, well, he's taken a chance to handicapper with 127, has he? Now, I see why he did it. I mean, the second canter run its race and punches down. There was a 200-1 shot back in third. But even on his maiden hurdle form last season, which wasn't bad, and as you say, he was back like a horse that they thought was a bit better than that, a mark of 127 wouldn't be excessive. He took the step up to 3 miles in his stride. He's authorised. The ground can't be soft enough for them, and they stay all day. I thought, I wouldn't like to be trying to put a mark on this horse, but I think I would have gone for something a little higher than 127, and he'd be my choice in the race.
What's notable as well, Gavin, is if you're taking into account Simon Torrance is claiming 5 here. Now, if this horse basically gets a reasonable time of it out front, that £5 becomes very, very important, because if you're going to a reasonable pace, he's probably an easy enough ride. He's not a typical authorized, and that he's not mad keen or anything. Simon Torrance takes the 5 off, which brings his actual weight down to 9-10. And if he is to bowl along in front, you can imagine him shortening dramatically and running. But obviously, there's a proviso there. He might get taken on. There are plenty of rivals in this race. Should mention the Jam Man as well, who obviously is a fascinating runner. He won the Troy Town, despite the fact that he's not really a chaser. Very, very interesting race, Gavin.
It is. I would say that Simon Torrens is probably the best value jockey out there for £5. He's a fantastic value. I noticed there this morning they changed the ground at Leopardstown to soft on the chase track, and I think it is yielding to soft on the chase track and soft on the hurdle bumper track. So it's amazing how quick it dries out there. I thought Damalisk was very, very impressive in Nav, and obviously it's got a £12 penalty. I thought it might even.
Why the £12 penalty, by the way?
Sorry?
Why the £12 penalty? Why is it £12?
How do you mean? Just the handicapper just assessed it at that, no?
So it's effectively running off its actual mark.
Yeah, no, it is. That's its actual mark, yeah. I was confused because last week the entries for this race were out before it won in Navan, I thought. So I thought it'd be in with a £5 penalty, but that's not the case. It's got a good profile. It was off for 2 years, ran very well in the flat behind Mount Leinster at the Curragh. Was just touched off in the Brown Lad by Barnavidon and Nace. Then bolted up in Navan. It's probably going to be 5-1 favourite, but I think it's got a great chance. Dandy Mag deserves a mention of one at Christmas. And I'm surprised, Johnny, considering it's trained by Gavin Cromwell, you don't fancy Arverne first reserve?
Well, I don't usually tip reserves, but yeah, Gavin's horse is running well. He's a very impressive bumper winner, obviously, at the weekend, and he's an interesting horse as well.
He is, because you wouldn't say that fences are his cup of tea. His jumping at fences is just okay, But you'd imagine off 123, his first reserve, there's 22 above him. The chances are, I think he'd probably get in. I thought he'd have an each way chance, but I'd go for Damalisk myself.
Yeah, very good shout, Gavin, as well. Just looking on Gavin Cromwell's reserve. Let's get on to the Flogast Novice Chase. Now, when we play memories from the Irish Gold Cup later on, it'll probably make you pine for the days when people went to the racetrack and actually shouted a horse home, which to me isn't even before the crowds obviously stopped going. People are just far too placid at race meetings now. They kind of clap lightly, or they're not even in the stands watching race. And I think atmosphere is important, but there was absolutely nothing wrong with the atmosphere in the renewal of this race last year.
Coming down to the final fence, it's Faheen the leader from Tornado Flare. Easy Game, Battle Over Dorian has dropped back. Then Castlebourne West, it's Faheen and Easy Game. A faller was Battle Over Dorian. They're inside the final 200 yards. It's the Stable Companions from rail to rail. Faheen on the far side of Easy Game. They're running up towards the finish. Faheen and Easy Game. Faheen on the far side of Easy Game. He's found a new lease of life over fences. Faheen has delighted his many fans here at Leopardstown. In a battle of the ages, Easy Game second, then Tornado Flower and Castlebourne West. And up is Davy Russell, and so too Battle Over Doyen.
Actually, it was interesting speaking to people about this race recently when we were talking about crowds and all that. It was a rare day when Faheen won, because I don't know, Gavin, you don't really guess atmospheres like the atmosphere that prevailed in Leopardstown this day last year very often anymore.
Yeah, no, I was there last year myself, and the atmosphere was amazing, and everybody running around the parade ring like they used to do years ago, as you say. So yeah, Faheen at the age of 12. Will he finish first, second, third and fourth in that race last year?
Juki, I suppose you must be pining for the days where you could go to the races. I think you said 10 months yesterday it was.
Yeah, it's a desperate time. I'm not as much of an atmosphere junkie as you, Johnny. I'm quite happy to potter around when it's basically just me and Fairy House on a wet Wednesday. I'm perfectly happy there. But that Faheen race, I understand what you're saying. It was incredible to be in the stands there. And with the two horses being so wide apart on the track, it was in doubt up until very on. And the stand that I stood in, you're looking basically as head on at the track as you can. So there's a sort of a collective betting shop lean to try and get them to hold on, looking at the big screen. It was a beautiful day.
Tell me, lads, do you think Faheen, if he'd gone over fences instead of staying hurdling that time, do you think he would have won a Gold Cup?
Why not? Well, he jumps fence as well. Why not? Stamina wouldn't have been a problem. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he really. I think he barely stays 3 miles. I don't think he'd stay the trip in the Gold Cup.
Well, one horse who'll definitely stay here is Monkfish. I tell you what, though, Gavin, the fact that Willie is taking him on with steering for Lange, who's wearing a tongue tie for the first time, and of course is going left-handed, although going any-handed has been a problem for him of late. He just can't jump over a fence. And Janadil, who's not a bad horse as well. I'm not sure what Willie's thinking is necessarily here, going back left-handed with their steering for Lange. The doubt about Monkfish, if such exists, is that he's dropping back in trip. But I have to say, I love this horse. He's beautiful to look at. He's a brilliant jumper. I think he'll win.
Yeah, I'd say it's just a case of opportunities. Like, he's running Shaq and Persuas against Min again this year. It's just a case of there's only so many races for so many horses, and he's a lot of owners to keep happy. A steering for Lange, presumably his spring target will be the Grade 1 in Fairy House at Easter over 2.5. Is it called the Ryanair Chase, the Novice Chase, the Grade 1? So I suppose he has to get him out. He can't let him go there after two falls. So I'd say Patrick will be just told, make sure he finishes and has a good day out.
Monkfish beat Laced Exhibition 3 lengths the last day, having beaten him when they clashed at Cheltenham as an officer earlier. He only beat him a neck. Now, would you think he can turn the form around in a tongue tie, or was Monkfish kind of only doing enough because he does have a brilliant, brilliant finishing kick in these races?
I think I fancy Latest Exhibition maybe one last time against Monkfish. I love Monkfish, great horse, super jumper, and stays forever. I just think that Latest Exhibition, who beat Andy Dufresne over 2.5, I think if Brian Cooper can hold on to him for a very, very late run. He took him on in the Bartlett turning in, went past him, and then Monkfish fought back. Again, the last day in Leopardstown, he took him on at the second last. And all the way to the last, there was nothing between them. They finished three lengths between them, but I think a length and a half was probably more like the actual distance because Brian sat up in the last 50 yards. But I just would love to see Brian Cooper wait until well after the last to challenge and don't give Monkfish time to battle back.
Andy Dufresne, Gavin, right? This horse's racing post rating in his last four runs was at least 150. He's two of them were in grade twos, and his two runs over fences, he's won easily. He's 12 or 14 to 1, which to me, I can't really get my head around. Or is the implication being, as you often have with these colours, that he's kind of been aimed for something else? I think he's been slightly underestimated in the betting.
Yeah, like he was good enough to fight back to beat Captain Guinness over 2 miles. He has won over 2.5 because he won his maiden hurdle over 2.5. As you say, he's what is he, 12 to 1. There's 9 runners. You'd imagine there's nothing wrong with backing him each way. He looks the main alternative to the two favs anyway.
And poor Phil Dudarez, Juki, had to come up against Envoi Alain last time. Doesn't have to do that here, but does have to come up against the Fish, who I'm sure you are a big, big fan of. And Poppature, residing by the Eastern Seaboard as well. You've access to that lovely lovely fish shop in Monkstown, which you can obviously get some monkfish in. Will you be getting some monkfish in on Sunday, though?
Well, I'll have to get some dinner in between the racing and the Super Bowl. Well, so that's a pretty tight window. I haven't thought about that yet. Although
who
I have my beer and
Super Bowl,
snack.
Juki, do you want Tom Brady or the other man?
I'd be cheering on the Chiefs. Mahomes is just he's so entertaining. The things he can do. So I don't care, Gavin. Like a lot of sports that I'm a casual fan of, I just want it to come down to the last play. Just entertain me. So if I'm entertained, that'll do me. And whoever wins. But I want it to come down to the last play. So anyway, sorry, Johnny. That was a digression. I know you're trying to keep things brief. Yeah, the Fish. So as you've mentioned, this is a really deep race. And he is perhaps vulnerable at this trip. But he's just... Every run just gets better and better. He managed to find a way over hurdles, despite the fact that he kicked a few hurdles out of the way. He's much better jumper at fences. He's getting stronger and more mentally switched on. I think the biggest danger he faces in this race is getting wiped out by Asterion for launch.
You may not be, like, obviously, that all joking aside, Paul Townend is going to, you know, he'd be wary of that. So you don't...
He'll stay on Asterion for launch's inside anyway.
Yeah. It is tricky. I suppose you can't really do that. It's not fair, but this is really a case for the stewards to say it's dangerous to have Asterion for launch in this race because he's out in front, and anything on his right is in danger. When you saw the damage he did in the Supreme, but I suppose you can't ban horses from going left-handed. It just can't be.
Are you landing on Monkfish then?
Oh yeah, the Fish wins. The Fish wins. I mean, I'm just gearing up for hopefully himself and Envoi Alain over 3 miles in Punchestown. They might do it. They might do it.
Sounds like Juki might be doing a Monkfish into Chiefs double as well. Patrick Mahomes leading the Chiefs home, maybe the Super Bowl. I like Monkfish a lot, but the proviso is obviously it's an obvious case. He doesn't have an awful lot in hand, maybe of the others, and he will be 8 to 11. We're moving on now to the feature race of the day. Though there are only 5 runners, which is appreciably less than when most of these clashed at Leverstown at Christmas. That's not taking much away from the race, but to get you in the mood, have a listen to this.
At the final fence, Denoli and Jadami. Denoli over in front, Jadami in second, Imperial Call back and third and under one in. Denoli over on the rail, Jadami on the near side and racing into the closing stages. Denoli and Tommy Tracy from Jadami and Norman Williamson. They're clear of Imperial Call and racing up to the line. Denoli getting a huge reception as they go to the line. Denoli, Jadami still coming, but Denoli's holding him as they go to the line. Denoli wins the MSC Premier Gold Cup. Tommy Tracy punches the air with delight. Second Jadami, a long way back to Imperial Call. Mary Gale is fourth, and the only other finisher is King of the Gales.
The final fence, Florida Pearl, Harbour Pilot runs him right across the fence, but he's still nicely clear as they race inside the last 200 yards. It is still in front, Florida Pearl. Le Coudre is wearing into the lead. They've got 100 yards to go. Florida Pearl is all out. Le Coudre is lunging late as they go towards the line. It's the familiar look to the Hennessy Gold Cup, number 4. for Willie Mullins, Violet O'Leary, and Richard Johnson, Lecoudre Rinkeree, and Alexander Banquet is fourth. Straightening up for the final fence in the Hennessy Cognac Gold Cup, and it's Beef for Salmon and Paul Carberry, Hedge Hunter David Casey on the inside, and Beef for Salmon just gaining the upper hand now as they come to the final fence. It's Beef for Salmon over in front of Hedge Hunter, who's trying to rally in second. They're well cleared of Native Upmanship, but on the run up towards the finish, it's Beef for Salmon who's going to land the odds in good style after a scare over on the far side. Beef for Salmon's going to win the Hennessy Cognac Gold Cup for Paul Carberry and Michael Hardigan. And it's Beef for Salmon. Fine run from Hedge Hunter in second. Third, Native Upmanship, Nil Desperandum, Jack High, and Prince of Tara.
You have a story, actually, Gavin, about Denali. It was one of these days where I felt like I was racing, but it turns out I wasn't even into racing that when Denali was around. My eternal shame or whatever, but every time I watch that race on YouTube, I have to say I almost get emotional, because it's almost from a different time. It was from when it was usual or maybe habitual for connections of jumps horses to be maybe there was more of a chance of the smaller man winning. And certainly it was at a time when Irish racing was kind of in the halfpenny place compared to British racing.
Yeah, I suppose Ireland wasn't a very wealthy country at the time. Most of the horses were exported. Denali was the people's champion, trained by a small trainer, we'll say Tom Foley, a very successful trainer. But I'd say Denali was the most popular horse in Ireland at the time. And he was against, it was at Jadami. And I was down at the front of the stand. And when they went past the line, I ran round to the parade ring. There was nobody there. So I ran into the parade ring. And then a few minutes later, Mike Dillon from Ladbrokes was handing out some betting dockets for the Gold Cup. And I'll never forget, I kept it for years. It said 5-1 Denali, 5-1 Beef for Salmon, and 5-1 Imperial Call. Three Irish horses. So we ended up, I don't think we won the Gold Cup that year, but that was my experience of the Denali day, yeah.
Little did Mike Dillon know who he was dealing with, Juki.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. It's amazing the things that stick in your mind.
Were you there that day yourself?
Yes, I was. I mean, that was a golden era. I mean, I would have been early 20s when Denali won, mid-20s when Florida Pearl won. So they were my salad days, Johnny, and people are inclined to be very nostalgic for their glory days and perhaps remember horses as being better than they actually were. But I'm pretty sure that was a vintage. I mean, Florida Pearl was beating Doran's Pride. As Gavin mentioned, Denali was beating Jadami. I mean, proper horses.
Yeah, and one of the lads, Naps, actually is in this race. And we did hear Delta Work winning the race last year. I know a lot of people spoke about, you know, how exciting the race was at Christmas, Gavin. I'm slightly talking, and actually I am speaking through my pocket here, because I backed Manella Indo in the race, and I backed Presenting Percy, who ran an absolute shocker. But I was more surprised almost that Manella Indo fell. He's bidden to atone for that, but Delta Work, you know, it was very early in the race when he unseated. It then turned into a strange race between Mellon, who was unproven over the trip, Kenboy, who was very weak in the betting, and I thought was going to struggle to get home because I thought the ground maybe was worse than it was, and then Aplu Tara, who obviously won the race but doesn't run here. Lots of angles to this. I like Manella Indo, but at the prices, you can make a strong case for Delta Work, who won the race last year.
You can make a case for them all, really, Johnny. I'd imagine in terms of pace, Willie said there the other day that's going to change the tactics slightly on Mellon, so presumably they're going to hold him up, which is probably tricky because he's such an amazing jumper that he's just going to keep taking Patrick forward and forward. So Kenboy to lead, or else Manella Indo to lead, I'd imagine. It was a bit strange that Manella Indo fell and Delta Work conceded one fence after the other Christmas, which was a huge letdown for the race. But in terms of having a bet or picking a horse to win this, it's very, very tricky. I'd love to see Mellon. He wins very, very rarely. If I don't have a bet, I'll definitely cheer for Mellon.
Yeah, in fairness to Mellon, he's been the bridesmaid so many times. Ran an extraordinary race at Leopardstown at Christmas. I'm still not really sure 3 miles on this ground would be ideal for him. I'm actually confident enough here. If you back Manella Indo and have a saver on the Delta, Juki, I'd be confident enough there. And if you actually Dutch those, it's not a bad bet. You'd be talking about odds against anyway. I'd be confident that one of them will win. I'm dead against the 2 Mullins runners here. I think Kenboy will struggle to get home on that ground. What do you think?
Yeah, big call. I'm sort of the tiniest sliver of me that wants Mellon to win, because Gavin obviously realised before Christmas that he was an amazing jumper. I must say it had passed me by, but the round of jumping he put in over Christmas was just exhibition stuff. But whatever about the tiny sliver of my heart that wants him to win, we've all got to eat, Johnny. I have a decent wager on Benella Indo to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup. I had my max on him at Christmas, so that was a difficult race for me. But basically, the horse is relaxing like a little lamb in his race. We know he has a massive engine from when he used to pull the jockey's arms out over hurdles. He generally is a very solid jumper. Not spectacular, but he just gets from one side to the other. So it was a real shocker for him to end up on the floor. I don't think it'll happen again. I think I'll get 2-1. And I'll be going in with my max again.
Kind of agree with you there. A race to savor anyway, with only the 5 runners. And we've one of our guest snaps today is very, very brave in terms of tipping a horse in our next race, 4:10, the Gaelic Blantyre Leopardstown Handicap Chase. Might as well start with you, Juki, because it's either you or Gavin, and I've started with Gavin before. 22 runners here. This is a minefield of minefields, I think. I can't even remember if I fancied that in the race from looking at it earlier. Obviously, Off You Go is going to attract a bit of attention, shall we say. Farclough ran very well last time. Tracy's in Escort. He loves it around here. Was good at Cork last time. What do you like?
Yes, I do like Tracy's in Escort. Yes, I'm really, really done. I'm definitely going to back him. I probably have a decent bet on him because he, as you mentioned, he won at this meeting last year, and he's taken a bit of time to come to himself this year, but he was really good in Cork, jumped really well up until making a bad mistake at the last. He's up 12 pounds, but that form has had a boost. And also, I'm looking down through him, there's 22 runners, but I don't think he faces a lot of competition for the lead here. Get out in front, jump away. I think he'll take a lot of passing.
He won off 128 at this meeting last year, Gavin. He's running off 137 over fences here.
Tracy's in Escort. Yeah, he'd have a chance. Yeah, he was very progressive last season. I think Off You Go doesn't jump well enough. Can't see him winning.
Mm.
I'm surprised that Farclass is a shorter price than Manila Times. Manila Times was 5.5 lengths ahead of him in the Paddy Power. And even though Farclass is £3 better off, I think Manila Times will finish ahead of him. I'd mention Manila Times. I'd mention Cross My Mind, who's very impressive in Navan. It's up £10. Arthur Moore, an interesting jockey booking of Dennis O'Regan. And again, to mention another reserve and a handicap, but Ishka Baha, which is the Irish for, as you know, for whiskey. I think he's got a great chance. He won at Christmas over 2 mile 1. It was his first run for Pádraig Roach. Had come from Joseph O'Brien. That was 2 mile 1. I looked at the race again this morning. It jumped quite well. It stayed on very, very well after the last, flashed home. I think the step up and trip with an £8 penalty, I think that's got a huge chance. I think it's going to be 14-16-1. It has ran over 3 mile 2 one day in Killarney, so I think the step up and trip will suit. So Ishka Baha, if it gets in a 14-20 each way, will do me.
What about the enigmatic Bapo with Paul Townend riding? A horse that you could literally set your watch by if your horse were broken. Pulled up last day in a Grade 1, obviously over hurdles, back over fences. Gavin, could you give some of your money to the great Bapo?
I couldn't. Johnny was impressive one day in Nace, all right, when it beat Spyglass Hill, and then it hasn't shown much since then. I suppose it was an okay run behind Daily Tiger and Punchestown. That race has thrown up a few winners, so maybe, but not for me.
Final race today is the bumper, the Coolmore National Inspires, Kew Gardens Irish EBF Mares bumper. Reminds me of watching Kew Gardens win the Ledger at Leopardstown when Adam Antipost for the Ledger. Seems like the last decent Antipost winner I've had. You mentioned Ishka Baha, whiskey, prior to this race, Gavin. Brandy Love in this race could be. The Ishka Baha Brandy Love double could be popular. Will it be popular with you?
I think David Jennings reckons Brandy Love is a porn star. Is that right?
David Jennings would know more about porn than me, it would seem. I don't know either.
Really, really good bumper. 11 decent mares in this. It's very hard to know. Like, when a horse bolts up sometimes, like Brooklyn Glory bolted up in Cork, Take T did the same, so did Brandy Love. If I got an each way price on Take T, if I got 7-2, 4-1, even at a fifth of the odds, I thought she was wicked impressive in Nace. I might back her rather than Brandy Love at, say, 6-4.
Yeah, I might go with Brooklyn Glory, as you mentioned. Very impressive at Cork. And she was quite free in her race at Listowel, but there was plenty of sort of chat about her. And she's a real, real cruising speed, Duke. She's off 98 days. One of several Mullins runners in this captivating finale.
Yeah, it's just a complete guess up. The fact that there's a consensus from the two. Brandy Love is obviously very interesting. Goes off 4-9. and never comes off the bridle. But I'm really, I have weak sales resistance at the best of times, and particularly on this race. So I'll row in with you two boys.
Let's get naps from Jane Mangan, Kevin O'Ryan, Fran Berry, and Don McLean.
The Grade 1 races at this year's Dublin Racing Festival are fantastic, but they are small fields. Thus, value is difficult to find. So for my bet of the weekend, I'm going to the Matheson Handicap Chase, the 2:45 on Saturday, and I'm going for a course winner. A Wave of the Sea was a Grade 1 winner there last year when he won the Juvenile Hurdle. He's still only a five-year-old, and he's got a very light weight on his back. Simon Torrens then takes five off that. I think in a competitive handicap chase, he's the horse I'm going to side with to give us a little bit of value.
My nap this weekend at the Dublin Racing Festival is Farclaw in the Gaelic Plantire Handicap Chase on Sunday, day two of the fourth running of the Dublin Racing Festival. I think this horse will be very hard to beat. He's a former Triumph Hurdle winner, and I thought he ran a cracker when finishing third behind Castlebaum West, of course, in the Paddy Power Chase. That was over 3 miles at Leopardstown at Christmas time. I think the drop back to 2.5 will play right to his strengths, and I think Farclaw will be very hard to beat. He's my nap for the weekend, Leopardstown Sunday, at the fourth running of the Dublin Racing Festival.
Hi, lads. Hope you're all keeping well up there. Great weekend's racing, of course, Dublin Racing Festival. Nap for day one on a day where there is quite a few short price favourites. I'll go to first race though. Galard de Mesnil in the first time hood for Willie Mullins, Paul Townend. And this horse got beat obviously in Irish debut at Punchestown. He backed up at Christmas at Leopardstown and very impressive winner by 9.5 lengths. Galloping on resolutely over that 2.5 mile trip. Beating Mr. Incredible, who went on to win very impressively in Nace last Sunday, and him and the second horse on that occasion were well cleared at third. So form has stacked up really well, and Galard de Mesnil, with further improvement to come up in trip, should take quite a bit of beating in race one on Saturday.
Hi, it's Don McLean here, and my best bet for the Dublin Racing Festival is Delta Work in the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. I just think that he's a little bit overpriced at 4-1 or 9-2. He did unseat his rider last time in the Savills Chase at Leopardstown, but he won the Savills Chase last year, and he also won this race, the Irish Gold Cup. You can allow him his run at Down Royal on his debut this season. He always comes on for a seasonal debut. And back at Leopardstown on soft ground with Jack Kennedy back on board, I think there are plenty of positives. The ground, soft ground, is probably in his favour and probably against both Kenboy and Mellon, who both ran big races in the Savills Chase at Christmas time. Manel Indo is obviously a big player, but he's coming into the race on the back of a fall as well. And I just think Delta Work, this could be his primary target for the season. He goes very well at Leopardstown, and I think he could outrun odds of about 4-1.
Great stuff from the guys there. And it has been mentioned, Don put up Aplu Tard when we last met at Christmas, and he's basically gone for the same race this time, except for he's obviously going for Delta Work, Farclaw, and Wave of the Sea. And Fran obviously going for Galard de Mesnil, who was your nap. You were very strong on Gavin for day one. What is your day one or your day two nap, rather, Gavin?
Go for a little bit of value. 5 or 6 to 1 shot, Damalisk in the William Fry Handicap Hurdles at the 2:40.
Dukey.
I will go for Manella Indo in the 3:40.
I'm going to go with you, actually. I could go for one at a decent price. I think, as I mentioned, Declan Queeley's mare, I think will run well in the mare's handicap hurdle. But I like Manella Indo. I think if he doesn't win, Delta Work will. Lads, thanks a million for that. What are you going to do for the Super Bowl, Dukey? A couple of beers, a bit of American food, hopefully a winner.
Yeah, I have some crisps and some beers in. I won't have a bet on it. I don't bet on anything that can talk except for golfers, but that's another story. So I'll just sit up and enjoy it. And it's in Florida, so it should finish at a fairly civilized time for us, shouldn't it?
It should indeed. Will you watch it, Gavin?
I might watch the first half, and then if I fall asleep, I'll go to bed.
Been a tough week for you.
It's been a good week, yeah. But Leopardstown just looks absolutely top class.
None of us will be there, but we'll be watching on Racing TV. And thank you all for listening.